everyone. Welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me, Morgan Flitt. Today's episode is so exciting. I'm kind of nerding out. If you personally know me, you know that I am really into U.S. politics, really into U.S. history. Like, I'm such a political nerd. And today's episode is all about voting. So for today's episode, I sat down with Amanda, Rebecca, and Brittany, who are three of the amazing female badasses behind this Instagram called Show Up Vote Up. I found this Instagram a couple weeks ago, and it is basically like the holy grail for voting. They share a lot of posts about key deadlines that are coming up regarding the election, a lot of really cool information regarding key battleground states that are really important and definitely the states to watch during the 2020 election. And I felt that it was so pertinent to have them on the podcast because I am a political nerd. I love election years, and I think especially the 2020 election is a huge one. So I thought it was so important to have these women on the podcast to talk about voting. So this episode is basically like your voting 101 guide. We talk about registering, where to find your polling site, what absentee voting is, what early voting is. We talk about why you should even care about voting in this election specifically, how you should handle politics, especially when you're a female. I feel like there is this weird misconception around women in politics, and I think a lot of young women especially are so afraid to voice their opinions when it comes to politics, so we touched on that as well. This is just such an amazing informational episode. I know it's so different compared to other episodes that I usually do that are centered around health and fitness and lifestyle, but especially with the election coming up so soon, we're less than a month away from it. I just felt like I couldn't sit back and not participate in this huge movement that is going on. I feel like a lot of people are becoming so educated about the U.S. election system and how it works, and they're just really eager to vote this year and make a change. These women who are behind Show Up Vote Up are doing such great work. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. I would like to mention that I know politics can be a very touchy topic for a lot of people. I wish it wasn't that way, but politics can be very divisive. No matter your political affiliation, you can listen to this episode. I still think you'll take value from it. Nevertheless, I don't want to see any negative, harmful, hateful comments on the podcast Instagram or over on Show Up Vote Up's Instagram. Like I said, I wish politics weren't so divisive and touchy, but it's just the country and the world that we live in. Please be respectful. The women that are in this episode, Amanda, Rebecca, and Brittany, handle this episode with such grace, and you will definitely see their political affiliations come out in this episode, as will you will see mine. But no matter your party affiliation, I still think this is a really valuable episode. I feel like we approach it with a lot of respect and grace, and I would appreciate that my listeners do the same towards these women. So let's go ahead and get into the episode. Okay, so I am here with Amanda, Rebecca, and Brittany from Show Up, Vote Up. So hi, ladies. Welcome onto the podcast.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, so go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners and then also explain the meaning and the message behind what Show Up, Vote Up is.
Great. Thank you so much, Morgan, for having us. My name is Rebecca. And this was kind of my brainchild that I roped Amanda and Brittany into. So Show Up Vote Up is basically a group of female friends, and the three of us are kind of in charge and leading the charge in what we're doing. But basically, we're a group of female friends who were just so frustrated and tired of kind of sitting back and letting everything with the election unroll. And so we decided to get involved and to try to tap into our own resources and people we know and our spheres of influence to try to make an impact this election. So we started off really small, and we have a group of amazing women who are our captains who kind of work with us. And we've adopted six different states, so Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Texas. I think that's all six. And we adopted those states because these are states that are really going to make a difference in the election. The three of us live in states where it's kind of pretty much foretold how the outcome is going to be. But we know people in each of those states, and we feel like we could have an influence if we just did our best to reach out on social media and through other ways. So that's kind of how we started, and it's really taken off and grown from there. I'm so proud of how much influence we've already been able to have on social media. We now have over 300 followers on Instagram. We have a website. We've had virtual letter writing parties. We're going to start text banking parties in the coming weeks. So we've really, really grown, and it really has shown us how much people were ready to get involved, and they were just looking for an avenue and looking for somebody to tell them the best way and how to do it and look at, you know, doing the research, because election law and figuring out how to vote in your state is actually really confusing. And we realize that they almost make it that way purposefully to discourage people from voting, which is the opposite of what should be happening in a democracy. So part of our job has just been to unravel the secrets of voting, on how to vote early. Everything's obviously changed during this pandemic. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people in those states to get the information that they need, to get their vote in early, to make sure that this election turns out the way that we all want it to.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about this upcoming election and why it's so important. I am a huge political nerd, so I've always been good about keeping up with elections. But in my lifetime, granted, I'm only 24, so I haven't seen too many elections, but I have never seen an election that the stakes seem so high. So I would really like you guys to explain why this upcoming election is so important to participate in.
Absolutely. It really feels like this is not just a moment, it's a movement. And this is the election of our lifetimes. This is the election that our children are going to be talking about. And we're not too much older than you, so we don't have that many more elections under our belts than you have. I think Obama was the first election that I got to participate in, which was amazing. And this just feels like so much is at stake. If you care about any of the issues, if you care about climate change, if you're bothered by the number of Black people being murdered by the police, if any of those social justice issues speak to you, they are all on the ballot in the presidential election and in the down ballot races. But really right now we have a president who just has absolutely no respect for the office, has really done everything he can to alienate and to just inflame misogyny and white supremacy. And it's really, we have to take a stand. And I think Kamala Harris said it really well. And she was like, you're going to have to tell your kids not just where you were during this election, but what you did. And so that's why we're really asking people not to have conversations with people who are never going to agree with us, not to try to go across the aisle and swing voters, but just to make sure that our people who feel the way that we feel, are empowered to vote, because we've always had the popular vote. And by we, I mean Democrats. But in general, the Democratic Party has really had the majority of people. It just hasn't mattered because of the Electoral College. And how do we fix that? I mean, we get the majority, we get the president, we get the Senate, we do as much as we can, and then we try to change the laws, because they really are unfair.
Yeah, definitely. I think also you brought up a good point earlier about a lot of us live in states where our vote, quote unquote, doesn't matter. So for example, I live in New York. New York's going to be blue this election. Like, we can count on that. Why do you think people should still go out and vote? Or on the flip side, another argument could be, this was said in 2016 as well, but I still think it rings true. People are like, our candidates suck. I'm picking from a choice of like the lesser two evils. I don't think these candidates support my values. I think the Democrats are also seeing that a lot, because a lot of people were pushing for Bernie, and then we got Joe Biden, who's a little bit more center than Bernie. So why should people even bother going out and voting?
Right. That's a really good point. I do think, first of all, just to address your first point, every vote absolutely matters. And I will never again allow people to think that they don't. I don't care what state you are in. We really need to win by a landslide. And believing that your vote doesn't matter is exactly what they want you to think, and that's exactly why things don't change. And I think that we need to start believing in each other, believing that our votes do matter, and encourage people to feel that way if anything's ever going to change. I completely understand and empathize with the position that this person doesn't represent all of my values, doesn't make a difference. I can understand why people feel that way. And I do completely understand that reasoning. But at this point, if we want anything to change, we have to start believing and buying into this political system. If anything is ever going to matter, if anything's ever going to change, it's not going to change if you refuse to vote. It's not going to change, especially when there's so many important things on the ballot besides just the presidential election. You're never going to be able to make a difference if you just sit back and just let things unfold and let them happen to you instead of taking an active role. And if we all collectively start to view voting in this way, there's really no telling how much, you know, power we're going to have.
Yeah. Go ahead, Amanda.
I didn't want to talk over you, but I wanted to jump in too and just say, like, just because I just moved from New York and I totally understand that mentality of, like, because of the Electoral College, does my vote really matter? Like, does me going to the polls really matter? And I think when it comes to the president, it's really easy to think that, but that is just one line on the ballot. And I always, like, want to remind people that really the president can only do something with laws that are brought to his desk. Obviously, the president can also do things like denounce white supremacy, denounce fascism, you know, do other things like that. So we do need a leader in that office, but we can't get laws that we want even passed if we aren't voting for down ballot candidates, if we're not paying attention to who we're putting in the Senate, if we're not paying attention to the Congress people we're electing, and then all of the local politics stuff that really matters. And I think that's where it can get a little bit overwhelming for people. But I do, I feel like if you can just take your focus to what's going to be on your ballot, you might already know who you want or who, you know, your clothespin vote is going to be for president, but your vote absolutely, absolutely matters when it comes to the down ballot races, no matter what state you're in.
Amanda, I love that you brought that up because I think a lot of people don't realize that when you are voting, those local and those state candidates are the ones that are going to have most likely the most direct effect on you and your livelihood. So I'm really happy you brought that up because I think a lot of people, especially in a presidential election year, only really think about who they're voting for president. And they don't take the time to put research into state and local candidates. And then they just show up on election day and they see these strange names on their ballot. And they're like, what the heck is going on? So it's really important.
Totally.
I definitely recommend researching local and state candidates because those are the ones that are going to have a direct impact on your everyday life. I want to circle to election day, which is quickly coming up. I can't believe that we're less than about a month away from it, which is crazy. So obviously due to the coronavirus pandemic, voting's going to look a little different. So if either one of you want to explain the early voting process and the absentee voting process, I think that's going to be a way that a majority of Americans will be voting this year, and it can be quite confusing. So I think a breakdown of the process would really help.
Yeah, I think Brittany is prepared to give us a breakdown of the process. But before we do that, something that at Show Up Vote Up we have really been stressing over the last couple of weeks and that we're trying to be really clear about is that in most states, election day is today. It's right now, it's today, it's tomorrow, and it's every day between now and November 3rd. So in most states, you can vote early, either in person or by mail or absentee ballot, starting right now. And so if you're looking for the specific steps to take in your state, it's likely so much easier than you think. And there are tons of resources out there that can literally walk you through the process. If you like have no idea where to start, if you're not even registered to vote yet, it's not too late. And you can, like, if you're not registered to vote, we would strongly recommend that you just pause listening to this and go and do that and then come back and resume listening to this conversation, because that's like the number one thing. If you walk away from listening to this, please make sure you're registered to vote and that you actually use your voting power. And so if you have questions about how to do that, a great place to start is calling 866-OUR-VOTE, which is a hotline that is staffed by people who literally have a database of all 50 states and the election laws that apply and all the rules. And they will be on their database looking up answers to your questions as you're asking them. So it doesn't matter what you throw at them, they're going to try to find an answer for you. And so I think that's, you know, a really great resource. And if that's too kind of scary for you, you don't like calling a hotline like that, you can just DM us on Instagram at @showupvoteup, and we will respond to you personally and help you navigate the process. So don't wait, start now. Voting is today, from today until November 3rd.
Brittany, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, Amanda, I think you said that really well. And I think what we're trying to do with Show Up Vote Up is really simplify the process a bit, especially for those six key states that Becca mentioned. So we've been putting out content that is not necessarily the deadlines for your state, but actually dates before the deadlines, because we know it's going to be so important to get your ballot in early. So if you go to our account, you'll see some of this, but just to reiterate what Amanda said, register and request your ballot today. So again, pause the podcast, go do it now. And then we're actually recommending that people go and hand drop their ballots into a Dropbox or to an election office. And we're using the date of Halloween, so October 31st, as a good sort of deadline for that, just because it's easy to remember. And you get it in before the actual election day. But if you're mailing your ballot, if you feel like you don't want to go in person, October 20th is a good date to aim for. So again, you can start voting now in most states, and we have a lot of information on our site, but we'll also link, I think, hopefully in the show notes, if that's cool, some great resources for where you can go and find, you know, specific deadlines for your state.
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful, because I know it varies state by state, which is so confusing. And I know a lot of deadlines for registering to vote are coming up, requesting absentee ballots, all of that. I think there's a big misconception that voting in America, I think, Rebecca, you said this, is easy and simplified, but it's really not. Like, there's so many rules and deadlines you have to meet. The littlest thing could make your ballot invalid. So it's crazy the amount of rules. I mean, I feel like New York's kind of good about it, but being a political nerd, like, I registered to vote the moment I turned 18. But definitely checking in with your state deadlines, because that is super important. I definitely want to continue the conversation about mail-in voting, especially given the presidential debate that just happened. So when we're recording this, it happened two nights ago now, I think. There were some comments made by President Trump about how mail-in voting is going to cause so much fraud in this upcoming election. So you should go vote in person. You should stand by and watch and make sure everything is happening fair and just. So I want one of you to explain, like, why people shouldn't be afraid of mail-in voting, basically.
I think, you know, that there are some risks with mail-in voting, to be honest, but I don't think it's due to fraud. And I think that that is just a tactic to scare people to not vote, which Becca has already talked about how important it is to vote. So please don't be, you know, don't buy into that scare tactic. But I do think we should think about some risks, which are things like not mailing your ballot back in time, or forgetting to sign it, or leaving your ballot, you know, naked, as we've been posting about, or even not putting your envelope into the second envelope. Like, there are little details that you need to know about your ballot. And that is kind of the main risk that we would want to highlight. It's not necessarily that there's going to be fraud or people are going to, you know, dump your ballot in a river or anything like that. I mean, I think those are unvalidated, just rumors that are going on. But we're also, again, with the mail-in ballot thing, just strongly encouraging people to hand submit their ballot if you can, at the election office or the ballot drop box. So if you're worried about that, then you can, you know, go early and vote early. So hopefully that's helpful.
And I just want to fact check and say that there is no evidence to support the fact that mail-in voting leads to fraud. President Trump has voted by mail. this is something that has been around for a really long time. That is just absolutely not true. And just another one of the many lies that he told during the debate. We are endorsing in dropping off your ballot in person because then you know that it's there. And I think that just with everything that's happened with the Postal Service, you know, we want to make sure that our votes are counted, and there are ways that you can go and check and make sure that your vote was counted, make sure that if anything was wrong, that you have a chance to fix it, which is why we want you to get these in as early as possible. But mail-in voting fraud is just somebody who thinks they're going to lose, who's scared of that possibility and is already setting the framework. So I just wanted to agree with everything Brittany said, but then also just point out that that was not true.
Yeah, it's definitely a scare tactic. Brittany, you mentioned some common mistakes that make absentee ballots and mail-in ballots become easily disqualified. Are there some other common mistakes that you want to point out to people? Also, where would they find like the rules and guidelines that they should be following when it comes to mail-in voting?
Yeah, I think the biggest one I wanted to point out is really that there are these deadlines for mail-in voting and for requesting your mail-in ballot, but it's actually potentially too late for your ballot to get back in time. So the New York Times actually has a really great resource for this that we can send, but two of the states that we're focused on, Wisconsin and Michigan, for example, if you waited until the deadline to request your mail-in ballot, you would have less than 3 days to actually send it back by the time it arrives. So that's really important, again, why you really have to get, you know, request your ballot and get it in earlier. So we can link that as well. I think a few other states that this is a risk in is Texas, North Carolina, Florida, and Pennsylvania. So just be aware of that. And then we'll be putting out, I'm sure, content as it gets closer to of like common mistakes. I know we posted even today about filling out your ballot, where to sign, having your witness signature, like things like that that you need to know. So definitely follow us for that content. And of course, you know, iwillvote.com is a great place to go for this. And Amanda's hotline, again, is an awesome place if you have any questions.
If someone does opt to vote in person, where can they find their polling site? I think that is like something that a lot of people don't think of until it's election day and they're like, wait, shoot, where do I go to vote?
So that varies so much district to district and county to county. So you would really need to look up and make sure that you have that figured out beforehand. And that information should be available to you online. But if you have any questions about that, again, reach out to 866 our vote. But that is so county and district specific. It's really hard for us to say one way or the other, to be, you know, quite frank and exact. It's just, it varies.
Yeah. One thing I can say is watch the mail. New York is good about sending you a postcard that says, this is where your polling location would be, which is very, very helpful. Most polling locations are like very close to where you live. So there's bound to be one near you. So I know that there's online resources too. Most states have like a portal that you can go and look in as well. I want to quickly circle back to the whole idea of a lot of people feeling, I guess, just not motivated to maybe participate in this upcoming election. This was very big in 2016 and probably a big reason as like why Hillary Clinton lost the Electoral College was people writing in third-party candidates. I haven't heard too much conversation about this, but I actually did see my first third-party candidate sign a couple days ago. And I was like, whoa, that's actually crazy. I didn't know people were still thinking about doing that. So if one of you could please just briefly explain why you shouldn't be writing a third party candidate when you are electing this year.
Sure. I think that it's just, there's so, we are in a system that is based on one person winning. So it really is just statistically impossible at this point for a third party to win. So you really are wasting your vote. And if you're somebody who hates Trump, the vote that hurts him the worst is a vote for Biden. Not voting, voting for a third party candidate is just basically throwing away your vote, or even worse, making it more likely that Trump will get reelected. I wish that we lived in a system where third party candidates stood a chance, but that's not the reality that we exist in. And so it really is not a great choice to throw away your vote in that way. But I don't know if Brittany or Amanda had anything to add to that. We're so, at this point, all behind Biden, because that is the only way that anything is going to change. And so it's really just, there are no other options. It's Biden or Trump. And third party, not voting, that's a vote for Trump.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like you said, I have this debate all we didn't live in such a strict two-party system. And I think like it's shown how divisory it has become because of the way that our political system is set up and ran. But that is a great explanation. I think in 2016, like I just feel like the amount of people that were voting for third-party candidates was absolutely insane. I don't think it's that bad this year. But then again, like, who knows? I also think we didn't expect Trump to win in 2016. So anything is possible. But I think that was a great explanation. Now I want to get into women in politics. So you three are great, strong-minded women who are involved in the political movement right now. I think a lot of women are afraid to voice their opinions when it comes to politics, out of fear of sounding uneducated or maybe just getting backlash from their peers, especially if they are surrounded by a lot of male peers or colleagues. What is some advice that you can give to women to feel more confident in feeling comfortable with their political opinions, as well as some good websites and resources that they can look at to educate themselves?
Yeah, I think this is a great question, Morgan, because it definitely can be intimidating, especially in our social media world where everyone is so visible, and you kind of feel, you know, judged for that. So just acknowledging that, yes, it can be intimidating. And personally, to give, you know, a little bit of an anecdote, you know, I've only started to become more vocal and visible this year. And it's really helped me to approach politics through the lens of something personal and then start to research all of the pieces that impact that specific issues. So I'm approaching conversations through a mindset of, you know, really being open to listening and learning and growing and acknowledging that I don't know everything. And, you know, I might voice something and I can change my mind on it later. But if I'm being authentic and I'm speaking from my heart, then I think people really appreciate that and it moves them to hopefully find something that they are really interested and passionate about too. So I would just recommend people, you know, just start with one issue that really matters to you and start to dig in there and educate yourself. I mean, honestly, you can even start with a Google search and just try to really start to understand, find leaders in that space who you admire and follow them and read their books, that kind of a thing. And you'll feel more confident to be more vocal. You know, even researching your local representatives or looking on their websites to see like what policies they're working on, I think is a great place to start.
And we've said so many times, I'm sorry, Morgan.
No, it's okay. The struggles of Zoom, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've said so many times, it's really impossible to know everything. And so we just want to normalize asking questions and being curious and find like looking for things, doing the research, putting in the work. No one knows. If any, this is Show Up, Vote Up has shown me anything, it's that there's so much about the system that I was not aware of. None of us are. We're right now being politically active because we feel like we have no choice, but we all have full-time jobs. Everyone has other things on their minds. There's no way to know everything, but admitting that and being curious and trying to figure it out is the best way to stay involved and keep your head above water in what is just such an immense amount of information.
Yeah. And I think this kind of hits on the last point that Rebecca made about like longevity and keeping your head above water. One of the things that I think, like, I want to challenge the idea that women are, you know, worried about appearing uneducated. I think that may be true for some people. I also think some women, like some of us, are discouraged from speaking up because starting at such a young age, we we really are kind of implicitly told that what we have to say is not going to be heard, or that it doesn't matter as much. And I think this is especially true for Black women and women of color. And, you know, this like subtle messaging that what we say isn't important is something that we can internalize. And it's something that we have to kind of link arms with other women to overcome for ourselves and for future generations of women. And so the biggest thing that has helped me personally to speak up is really ironically to listen, which I think Brittany mentioned, but specifically to listen to other women who are speaking up and who are speaking to issues that are really important to me. And I think, you know, everyone was celebrating the life and legend of Ruth Bader Ginsburg over the last couple of weeks. And she was an example to us in a lot of ways. She was one of those people who said something and then changed her mind later. You know, we saw that, I don't know if anyone else followed this, but she kind of spoke out when Colin Kaepernick took a knee for the national anthem, and then later said, I shouldn't have said that, and I don't agree with my position on that anymore. My position on that has changed. And I think that, like, being able to change your mind once you learn more about something is something we should normalize and encourage from leaders. And another thing that RBG said was that when she speaks up, it's not that she's not afraid, she just is afraid and speaking up anyway. And she was never not afraid. And so it was just that the speaking up outweighed the fear. And so I think one of the things that I've just loved about Show Up, Vote Up is that it started with the three of us, and then we multiplied with our team captains to, you know, now there's like 15 or 16 of us. And then each of those people invited people onto their team. And so total, we're like over 60 or 70 people that are involved in this effort. And it was just because we all decided to say to each other, I'm not okay not doing anything. And just in saying that, the other person felt free to say the same and then share that message with other people. And that's really what has built Show Up, Vote Up and the effort that we're making. So I think knowing that you have other women who are speaking up with you, even if your voice is quivering, even if your hands are sweating, just knowing that you have a team of other women who are standing behind you and around you, listening and holding space, it's one of the reasons that we've done so well in such a short time. And I think that the message through all of that is that it's not that any one of us is particularly special or gifted or just fearless, but it's that we're all afraid and we're just doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's a great message. Amanda and Brittany, I love that you both said normalize changing your opinion, because I think we live in such a rampant cancel culture, and there's a pressure and there's a belief that you're not allowed to change your mind. Like, you have to stick to what you said and that's that. And I absolutely love that you guys said that. I think I'm a great example of that. I was a registered Republican up until 3 or 4 months ago. And now, you know, I'm kind of facing struggles from people in my life being like, you switched political parties, you're an independent now. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I've gone to law school, I've educated myself more, and I've changed my opinions. And I think that is totally okay. And I think especially politics is just such a touchy subject no matter what. And politics are constantly evolving. New information is constantly coming out. What's at the forefront of being important is constantly changing. So I think it is really important to always be listening, asking questions, admitting when you're wrong, admitting when you have messed up, like RBG did with her Colin Kaepernick comment. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to change your opinion. I love that you both touched on that. So feel free to just wrap it up. So mention your social medias, the Show Up, Vote Up account, website, other important resources that you think are important and kind of need to know for the listeners.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I guess piggybacking off of what Amanda was saying of we are, you know, over 60, 70 women strong right now, is if this inspired you or you feel like you want to get involved, there is no limit to how big this group could get. So we would love to encourage you to go to our Instagram, where you can find a link to our website and a link to actually join the effort. So it's just a quick form. You can fill in your info, and essentially we'll just ask you to, you know, share the content if you feel like it's resonating with you, especially if you know people in one of those six states, because it really can make a difference, even just one person that you're encouraging to register to vote and to vote early.
Yeah, and okay. we also have a couple of opportunities to do more than just share on social media. We are finalizing some dates for text banking events. They're going to be kind of like text banking happy hours. And I just did it for the first time last weekend. It is one of the easiest things you can do. You don't need anything special or any special skills. And you can reach, I'm sorry, my cat is meowing. but you can reach like 1,000 voters in under an hour. And so I think that, you know, that is kind of a nice option for people who are willing to just give up an hour, a happy hour, and reach out to some voters that way. So stay tuned for that. If you're following us on Instagram, you will see lots of info to join us for that too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would also say, you've mentioned this in the interview, but iwillvote.com is a great resource, and just making sure that you're registered to vote, where your polling location is, and just having a voting plan. I think that's so important, especially in the crazy times we're in right now. Thank you, ladies, for coming on. This was an awesome conversation. It was very valuable, and I'm excited to see the change that you guys are leading. I hope you guys found that episode really interesting. Like I said, I'm a political nerd, so I was just like nerding out that entire conversation with those three ladies. But thank you so much to Amanda, Rebecca, and Brittany from Show Up, Vote Up for coming on. So the Show Up, Vote Up women were so kind to pass along some links that I'm going to put in the show notes of this episode. So if you are interested in volunteering and helping out with Show Up, Vote Up, there is going to be a link in the episode description where you can get more information about how you can help out. There's also going to be a link for general voting info, also another link about key deadlines and voting timelines that are organized state by state. So that will be very helpful. There's also a hotline that you can call that I'm going to list in the show notes that will answer any sort of question that you have about voting. So a lot of good information in the show notes. You can also always DM Show Up, Vote Up on Instagram. They are such amazing women. They're so knowledgeable and always willing to help. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it's so different compared to the normal health and fitness content that I put out on this podcast, but I wanted to do something different, especially with the election coming up so quickly. I do feel like it is my responsibility to have these sort of conversations, even if they, you know, may be uncomfortable to have or uncomfortable to listen to. I still hope that you got some value out of it. You learned something new. And yeah, I just thought this was an awesome episode. I love the message that these women are spreading. I think it's so cool that they are running a female-led movement regarding the election. It's just really cool to me. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and I will talk to you in next week's episode. Bye, everyone.